Some people have the gift of making difficult things simple. Others, the quote, gift of making simple things difficult. And as I have said to you at times in the past, there are times that I personally feel like I have the former, the ability to take something that is rather complicated and try to make it simple. But I know that more often than I care, I exhibit the latter. I can take something very simple and make it so complicated that nobody can understand it. And I think we all have both abilities from time to time. But we can be glad this morning, particularly in the passage we're going to study, that Jesus consistently was able to take something that could be difficult or could be complicated, and he can make it simple. He can make it sound so simple we wonder, well, why didn't I think of that? Or why didn't I say it that way? Jesus' ability to make difficult things simple is, I believe, one of the reasons he was so loved by the crowds. His teaching often contained very deep, very significant truth, but Jesus was able to express it in a very simple way so that the crowds, the common person, could very easily understand what he was trying to say. For example, Jesus often used illustrations from nature. And one time he was trying to communicate how God cares for them, the crowd, the people. And he said, look over there at the birds of the air and watch how God takes care of them. And look over there in the field and look at the lilies, look at the flowers and how God cares for them. And he was teaching a profound truth of God's care for people, but he did it in the most simple of ways. That is how Jesus tended to teach. And in our Bible text this morning, we have another example of Jesus taking something that could be considered difficult or complex and trying to make it rather simple. We see in our text that Wayne read a few minutes ago, Jesus fielding a very tough question. We're in Mark chapter 12, and we're beginning with verse 28. And I'd begin just reading that one verse, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Well, we need a little bit of background to that question. Why that question? Why that specific question? Why did that teacher of the law want to ask Jesus, well, Jesus, what do you say is the most important of all the commandments? Well, part of that background would be to look in the previous verses. We're not going to read them, but in those verses, a group of people called the Sadducees had posed a very difficult question of Jesus in hopes of trapping him. And Jesus responded by not falling into the trap, but by pointing out that the question that they asked was a moot point. It was not even an applicable question. They had a total misunderstanding of God's plan for things, which was shown by the question that they asked. So number one, this teacher of the law was impressed. He saw, boy, Jesus is able to take something that could have been very difficult, and he's able to make it plain, he's able to make it simple. But we have somebody who's asking a very specific question. He's not just impressed with what he sees of Jesus and what he hears from Jesus, but he has a very specific question. Of all the commands, which is the greatest? Well, that particular question had often been debated within the Jewish rabbinic schools. They asked themselves that question and discussed that question. Of all the laws that God gave to Moses, not just the Ten Commandments, but the approximately 600 additional laws and rules and regulations, of all those things, what's the most important? And the rabbis discussed that among themselves. They had two tendencies as the rabbis discussed the law. The one you are aware of from other things that Jesus said, that one of the tendencies was to take all the laws and expand them and expand them and expand them and expand them to even more to try to get every minute detail out of every single law. That was one tendency. But the tendency that is being addressed in this particular passage is the other. And that was, well, let's not look at everything. Let's narrow it down. Let's focus in on one thing. What is the most important? And various answers had been given, and this particular teacher of the law was curious, how will Jesus answer this question? What will he say? How will Jesus sum up all of the law, what you and I would call the Old Testament law? Well, the answer that Jesus gave is one of the more well-known portions of Scripture. Let's read his answer, beginning with verse 29. "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Jesus' answer is really a two-part answer. He does answer the man's question. He does say, well, if you want one answer, this is the answer. But he gives a secondary answer as well. Let's take those answers one at a time. For the most important commandment, Jesus turns and quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's go back there and let's read that particular passage from which Jesus quoted. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses before we get to the actual quotation from Christ. I'm going to begin in chapter 6 with verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you." I want to stop there for a moment. Moses has set things up right now. He's going to give a long, almost laundry list of laws and rules and regulations. But notice where he begins. This is where Jesus quotes, beginning with verse 4. This is the most important. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And it's those two verses, verses 4 and 5, that Jesus quoted. Of all the things that Moses could have been prompted by God to begin with, that's where he began. The statement, God is one, and love God with every single part of your being. And so Jesus quoted that and said, "This, teacher of the law, this is the most important of all the commands." This particular statement that begins in verse 4 and a little bit added with it is called the Shema, and that's the Hebrew word for hear or to hear. And even back then, as well as today, that statement is used to begin synagogue worship. And remember, Jesus' audience primarily, when he was answering that teacher of the law, was Jewish. And they would have immediately picked up on this and recognized, you know, Jesus is quoting from our own law. And Jesus is quoting that thing that is so important to us and so vital to us. The Lord is one. Love him with your heart and soul and mind and strength. This is a bold statement of the monotheistic faith of the Jewish people. And Jesus said, this is the most important law. This is the most important command. If you've got to narrow it down to one, this is that one command. And Jesus could have stopped there. Because at that point, he had fully answered the question of the teacher of the law. The teacher said, Jesus, what do you say is the most important command? And Jesus had answered that question, but he goes on and he adds to it and he quotes again from the Old Testament. And we need to go back there and look in Leviticus chapter 19. Too often we think of the Old Testament as being only harsh, and that is not true all the time, particularly in the passage we're going to read. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18 is the verse that Jesus quoted. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." You'll notice that the context here is specifically for one Jewish person to another Jewish person. They were not to bear a grudge against one of their fellow men. They were not, as a Jew, to bear a grudge against a fellow Jew, but they were to love that neighbor as themselves. But Jesus expanded that a little bit. You'll notice that Jesus left out a part of that verse when he goes to Mark in Mark 12 and quotes from it. He doesn't any longer say just Jew to Jew or just among your fellow people, but he says love your neighbor as yourself, and he expanded his meaning. that meaning, love your neighbor, the meaning of love your neighbor as yourself, no longer applies to a single ethnic group, but to all ethnic groups. And lest we have any doubts about Jesus meaning all people when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, we would do well to remember Luke's account when a person came to Jesus and said, Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus proceeded to tell the story that you and I have come to call the parable of the Good Samaritan. And at any given time, anybody, any human being, may be one's neighbor. So it's not hard to understand, I think, at this point, why Jesus would add this second greatest command. The first is to love God with everything that you've got, all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. But he said, there's a second, and that second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus completed his answer in Mark 12 and verse 31 when he says, there is no commandment greater than these. If you understand that number one is to love God with all of your being, and you understand that number two is to love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said, there's no other command that can compete with these. There's no other command, probably Jesus would even say, that comes close to these two. These are the basics. Following Jesus' answer, if you go back to Mark 12, we find some brief follow-up dialogue. And I'd like to read that in verses 32 through 34. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. The teacher of the law was relatively impressed with Jesus' answer. He complimented Jesus. He fully agreed with Jesus. He reiterated back to Jesus some of his own words and says, you're right. Those are the most important things, to love God with every part of your being, to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are most important. And the teacher of the law added something else. He recognizes that, well, indeed, God did set up a system of animal sacrifice. But in comparison, God was far more concerned, the teacher recognized and Jesus recognized, God was far more concerned not with animal sacrifice. He was far more concerned with somebody who loved God and somebody who loved his neighbor. And if somebody got those things right, they were well on the road to understanding faith. Then Jesus responded, and I'm very intrigued by what Jesus said, and I'm really more intrigued by what we don't see. We don't see the attitude and the expression on Jesus' face as he says to this man, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And I wonder how Jesus was feeling when he said that. We're told that Jesus saw that the man had answered wisely, so Jesus felt positive about this man's answer. But when Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God, I almost take it as a plea. Almost as Jesus looking deeply into this man's eyes, this man who was a devout Jewish person who understood the law, and saying, you know, you're so close to the kingdom of God. You understand the most important command. You understand the second most important command. And it's almost as if Jesus is saying to him, will you take that additional step? Will you take that additional step? You know, we don't know how that man ever responded to Christ. We're never told. But I'm very intrigued by Jesus' answer. It's almost as if it's a plea. Take the additional step. Accept me as Christ. I think maybe Jesus had that in mind. While we don't know how this man responded to Jesus' words, you and I each have the power to choose how we will respond to Jesus' words. Briefly, I want to suggest some ways that you and I can apply the principles that Jesus spoke in his answer. The first is obviously, if Jesus said the most important command is to love God, we want to love God. And if you're following along in the outline of my message this morning, you note that I've added an additional phrase to that. I believe that to love God is the way to heartfelt obedience. Not too long after Jesus' time, Augustine said this. Augustine said, love God and do what you like. He said, love God and do what you like. And you know, that is a very interesting paraphrase of what Jesus said. But both then and now, people have either misunderstood Augustine's words or they've been afraid of Augustine's words. People have misunderstood by thinking that as long as they love God, how they live their life doesn't matter any longer. But you know, that isn't what Jesus said, and that isn't what Augustine meant either. People have often also been afraid that people would take Jesus' words and they would misunderstand Jesus' words and they would live their lives to excess. And they wouldn't develop any spiritual maturity. They would just say, well, yeah, I love God, and would leave it at that. People were concerned that maybe there'd be a misunderstanding. But I think that that is a misapplication of what Jesus said. How should we understand Jesus' words? And how should we apply Jesus' words about loving God? Well, we need to remember that Jesus neither said nor implied that it was no longer important to care about trying to understand God's nature. Jesus never said, stop trying to understand who God is. Jesus also never said, forget about God's scriptural principles, they don't matter anymore. Jesus never said that. He never implied that. What Jesus did do was suggest that thing that must be the foundation of those other important things. I don't believe that Jesus is very interested in you or I just understanding God or knowing God in an intellectual way. You know, we can use the theological phrases such as omnipresence to say that God is everywhere, or omniscience to say that God knows all things, or omnipotent to say that God has all power. But you know, I don't think Jesus or God are very impressed by our knowledge of those words. Jesus isn't interested in us knowing just intellectually about God. And I don't think that Jesus either is very interested in you and I obeying God just by outward appearance, just by following through the motions of things we're supposed to do. That isn't what Jesus is most concerned about. Jesus was then and is now most interested in what is happening deep within us. And that's why Jesus didn't stop when he said, love God, but he went on to say how. He said, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's not just intellect, though it includes intellect. It also includes the heart, what we call the seat of our emotions. It speaks of a life that is so fully given over to God that every part of our being yearns to know God more closely, desires an intimate relationship with God. That's what Jesus seems to be most concerned about. With all the power within us, we focus on who God is and trying to love God and trying to understand God, trying to grasp Him as fully as we are able. That is how I think we can say, along with Augustine in paraphrasing Jesus' words, love God and do whatever you like. Because if we genuinely love God way deep down inside of us, it will make a significant difference in how we live our lives. God will be pleased, and I believe Christ will be pleased as well. Now, if loving God can lead you and I to some heartfelt obedience, what about the importance of loving people? Now, that was the second thing that Jesus mentioned. Well, again, if you're looking at the outline, I've added another phrase here. Love people, because I believe that loving people is the way to fulfilling human relationships, or for you and I to have fulfilling human relationships. I want to first note for you that there is a significant connection between loving God and loving people. If you and I have genuinely given ourselves over to loving God and really focused upon doing that, there's something else that must follow. Probably the most simple way of putting it is that part of loving God is loving those that He made in His image. Jesus meant that word neighbor to apply to all people. And that means that I too must, as I am able, as God empowers me to do so, love every single person on the face of this planet. And that's what Jesus calls each one of you to do as well. Regardless of race or origin or background, regardless of anything, we're called to love every single human being on the face of this earth. Every single human being that has ever lived, is now living, or will live has been stamped with the image of God. And to love God has to include loving those that He has created. If loving you is my primary concern, it will radically alter how I treat you. It will radically alter my behavior around you. If loving me is your primary concern, it will radically alter how you treat me. If all of us are loving each other, it will radically alter how we treat each other. Jesus did not say or imply that I didn't need to think anymore about whether or not to cheat somebody or lie to somebody. Jesus didn't imply that I could forget about forgiving people or treating people with respect. But if I love you and you love me, those things are no longer a problem. If I really love you because I see in you the image of God, the stamp of God, I couldn't possibly cheat you. And I couldn't possibly lie to you. If I really see in you a human being that God has created, I can't help but forgive you. And I can't help but treat you with the greatest and utmost respect. That is why we can say that is such a significant command: love people. When you and I are really loving people, we are seeking the very best for people, seeking to do what is good and what is right for them. We have within us, in that love, that basic foundation from which to treat every other person in a godly fashion. And when that happens, it doesn't mean we forget about what the Scriptures say, but it means that we will embody what the Scriptures say. Where the Scriptures talk to us about our relationship with other people, we will embody those things because we love them as a creature created by God. In all that Jesus said in our scripture passage this morning, let us finally keep in mind the last point in the outline. When all else fails, let's keep it simple. Somehow that can be very difficult for us to do, and I say that as one who finds that difficult at times. As I remarked earlier, Jesus' most profound teaching is often stated in the simplest of terms. Let's not attempt to complicate what he said. You know, it is so easy for a very well-educated person to take a simple statement and to reconfigure it so that it is almost impossible to understand. Something like the IRS regulations that you and I fight with every spring. It seems that there ought to be a much more simple way to say things, but it's always so complicated. Why are we chosen to complicate so many things in our lives? Let's not do that with Jesus' words. The most important words, the most important thing that we'll ever read, we'll ever say, we'll ever talk about, Jesus' words, let's not complicate those words. Let's keep simple what Jesus kept simple. And that's not to say that we ever neglect deeply studying God's word. We should try to understand the deep character and nature of God. We should want to study the principles that are found in God's word. But as we're doing that, and in preparation to do that, let's make sure that we have that firm foundation of loving God and loving people. That's the foundation upon which we build everything else. Don't lose sight of that simple, that basic foundation. Recalling that when Jesus answered the question, "What is the most important commandment?" he laid down the essential foundation for anyone who is serious about Christian faith. When all is said and done, go away this morning remembering this: love God, love people.